On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, Jeff Duncan. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Mike, Bobby, great to hear from you guys.
Oh, yeah, let me ask Jeff that. Jeff, do you think we'll see some new faces that aren't even on the team right now, and we're counting on them not in the middle of the back end of the season, maybe it comes September, that, you know, have the cut dates and on who you add and – You know, well, he's better than what we have. I kind of look at maybe the running back position or offensive tackle. But I thought that was interesting. Deuce was kind of telling me, man, you might see four or five players.
Or a guy that can swing between center and guard.
Do you agree with that, Jeff? Or what's your take on that? I know you got some scoop all the time.
Yeah, look, guys, I couldn't agree with Deuce more. I think it's going to be like the NFL version of the transfer portal. You know, they're gonna figure out who – You saw John Summerall this year at Tulane, right? Yep. Went through spring practice, figured out he had about four or five holes in the depth chart, and went out and got four or five starters after transfer portal. I think that's exactly – now, I don't know if these guys are going to have to fill starting roles with the Saints, maybe one or two.
Right.
But I guarantee you this front office and coaching staff's not satisfied with the depth chart in certain areas right now. And if you remember back – remember the – Sean Payton's first year, they went and made trades and got Mark Cimino and Scott
Stanley.
Yeah, the
line. He started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it could be something like that, whether it's via trade or the waiver wire. But I think they're going to be active here in the next couple of weeks.
Jeff, when you look at, you know, training camp basically over, it's over in California, just a couple more days before everything is shut down to the media. Would you say the MVPs of training camp, Chase Young, Alante Taylor?
Yeah, I would have a hard time arguing against those two. Chase Young's been much better than I thought he was going to be. I have to admit, I was pretty skeptical. You know, I'd heard a lot about him around the league. He's coming off, you know, he's had multiple surgeries, Mike. I mean,
yeah.
His knee and then his back, you know, or his neck. And so you wonder about him. And then you see him, man, he looks so much more athletic than I thought. You see why he was picked where he was picked in the draft. Now, can he carry it over to the regular season? The one thing I have to hesitate on, I don't want to sound like a wet blanket. I get accused of that a lot. But, you know, he's doing it against backups right now. I mean, he's doing it against guys that aren't going to be going against on Sundays. And Matt Paris, who's on our staff, covered him with the Commanders a number of years. And he said he would have these tremendous training camps and then come out in the regular season and end up with 1.5 sacks. So, you know, he looks good now, but I've got to see it on Sundays.
And, Jeff, now on the flip side, because you got to keep it real, you look at training camp, how it's unfolded. As far as disappointments, I would say that high on that, the gold medal disappointment, Isaiah Foskey. What in the world? Isaiah Foskey, nobody's even blocking you, dude. You can't have containment. I say Cam Jordan could be 60 years old. He ain't letting nobody get outside on him like that. I mean, I look at Foskey,
yeah.
and then Payton Turner. Payton Turner, no, it's tackle football. You know how you beat your guy? So Payton Turner, I'm more encouraged with that. You know, you're beating the blocker, but you got to finish the deal with the quarterback. You have to tackle him. You're not like, oh, man, I would have got him. You know, in practice, they don't hit the quarterback. But no, in the game, you got to take him down. So I would say I'm more encouraged about Payton Turner than Foskey when you're looking at that depth on the, at DN.
Yeah, I said something to my colleague Luke Johnson during the game. I said, man, Payton Turner just can't quite finish. And Luke did make a good point. He goes, well, at least he's getting there. But at some point, you're right, Bobby. You got to finish, right? I mean, it doesn't do any good if you're flushing guys. But Foskey, I'm worried about a little bit. I'm normally more patient with big men, defensive linemen, especially offensive linemen. I think sometimes we give up on those guys too soon and they come around, you know. But Foskey, I'm worried about because he almost feels like a tweener to me. He's not quite, and Mike, you know better than me, but not quite bendy and athletic enough off the edge, but he's not big and powerful enough to, you know, kind of be the traditional Saints defensive ends. He feels like a tweener to me, and I just haven't seen him make enough plays right now. And as a matter of fact, guys, I mean, I think the jury's out. Other than Brian Brzee, on this entire 2023 draft class, I mean, we go to Kendre Miller, Nick Saldivari, Isaiah Foskey. Obviously, Hayner's played well, but Jordan Howden, they're looking for a safety right now. I don't think they feel like he's the answer. And then A.T. Perry, I think, possibly could be in jeopardy of not making the roster. So that class has really not done as well as we thought this offseason, and this is a big year for them to step forward.
Now, Jeff, with that being said, though, you're looking at that draft class, and ultimately the buck stops here, you could say, with Mickey Loomis. But I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he kind of does what Jeff Ireland guides him to. You know, in theory, you would say, like, is Mickey Loomis eventually, because, I mean, look, I know the power he has with the New Orleans Saints. Would he eventually, like, all of a sudden, okay, I might, you know, somewhat semi-retire, but still be a consultant, figurehead, and pass the torch to let Jeff Ireland be the general manager? But then when you look, whatever he's done for me lately with Jeff Ireland, and he's interviewed other teams to be their GM, it hasn't worked out. I mean, with the players that we are selecting. So is that a fair assessment, a fair statement, you think, that the influence of Jeff Ireland on Mickey and who we picking? Or what's your take with that?
Well, in fairness, I mean, people miss, right? I mean, the draft's an inexact science. You know, the 49ers went all in on Trey Lance, and look how that turned out.
That's true.
You know, so, yeah, it happens. But, you know, I do think this is a big year for the Saints front office in terms of fan confidence, you know, even maybe ownership confidence in the direction of the organization. And that would probably include Mickey Loomis and Jeff Ireland and certainly Dennis Allen. I think they've got to win this year, and I think they've got to get in the playoffs, or there will be some consideration on major changes, and whether that involves as high up as Mickey Loomis, I don't know. One thing I would say, and you all know this as well as I do, Mickey Loomis isn't your typical general manager.
No,
I mean, he's involved in being the executor of the estate of the Benson Empire. I mean, he's embedded so much stronger than any other general manager in the league. I mean, he's really almost a part of ownership and management. It's not normal.
Yeah, he's right there with Dennis Lobster. To me, he's right now. I know Dennis is the top banana, but Mickey's right there. And then you look even like Greg Bitzel might be the most powerful PR guy. I mean, it's amazing.
No doubt.
With Ms. Gill, you look at those guys, it's like almost, who's in command and what's going to happen in the future? Well, you all can't fly on the plane together. Because the plane goes down, and we got 1, 2, 3, 4. Y'all in line to kind of show the direction of the team. And, boy, look at the characteristics. A lot of local flavor. You look at Dennis Schlauscher and Greg Benson, what, Jesuit? I mean, it's unbelievable. You can't get more New Orleans than that, Jeff.
In a lot of ways, it's like a family-run business. It's a mom-and-pop organization. And I think there's a lot of strengths to that. There's a lot of pros.
A lot of loyalty.
But I think there also could be. Yeah, there also can be some downsides in that sometimes I think it can get insular and it might need an infusion of new ideas and fresh blood. I don't think that's a bad thing sometimes.
Jeff, one of the things, going back to Isaiah Foskey, I talked to Pete Jenkins about this. Pete has not worked with Foskey. He has worked with Brian Brisset. And he told me, Mike, the little I see of Foskey, he said the one thing I'd question, how instinctive he is as a player. He said, and that might be part of why he's not making plays. He's a little hesitant. And he said, I see it a little bit, that he's a little hesitant to make that initial move. Now, he said, he's athletic, but he said, I've never worked with him. So he said, I can't say for sure. But he said, just from what I see, while Brisset, he said, you can tell.
Oh, he's getting better. You can see it.
He said, he's got the instincts. He said, again, because him and I talked about the technique part. He said, you're absolutely right on that. But he said, with Foskey, he said, it's not about his size so much. It's about how instinctive he is. So he said, if you go off all this RAS stuff that a lot of teams use, including the Saints, that's not part of it. That's a judgment call.
Well, I look at Isaiah Foskey, Jeff. To me, is he an imposter? Is that the same guy that played at Notre Dame and set all those records? I mean, it don't seem like the same guy. I mean, it's Notre Dame. It's not Northern Iowa. It's Notre Dame. Come on.
No, but you all make a great point. I mean, like, we can go way back, right? Like a Sam Mills, who was incredibly smart and instinctive and now is in the Hall of Fame, but he wouldn't have fit any of the Saints prototypes today. So sometimes you do have to have, exceptions to your prototypes in terms of size. And, you know, Anthony Orji, we talked to him today after practice, and this was interesting, and this is how it relates to it. He said his last season, all he was doing was overthinking. He was thinking too much. He was worried about making mistakes. So maybe that's also Isaiah Foskey. If you talk to him, he's a really sharp guy. And sometimes those guys can be overthinkers. And instead of, like you said, Mike, just turning it loose, getting upfield, getting after guys and playing, I know some people in the building have talked to Trevor Penning about that. Just go back to being the mauler. You know, you're going to make some mistakes. We'll live with that. But let's get you back to being what made you good in a first-round draft pick. Sometimes, he might be overthinking as well. So that could be an issue.
Now, Jeff, I even notice, it's not golf or tennis. Obviously, it's a team sport, football, that when the when Trevor Penning in the offense, when they're not on the field, you kind of hang out together, along the bench. Is Trevor Penning, is he that weird or something? He kind of goes by himself, and he don't hang out with the offensive lineman. What's up with that? I saw that last night.
I think he's just an introverted guy by nature, a little bit of a loner. He's just a little different personality type. He had that reputation coming out of college, out of Northern Iowa, and I don't think that matters, if you're playing well, right? People start noticing some of this stuff when it, but I do think Dennis Allen's sending a message to him right now. I mean, the fact they got Ollie Udo working in first team reps right now, that's lighting a fire under Trevor Penning to see if he'll respond. I think he knows this is a critical next few weeks for him. But they want, let's make no mistake, he's more talented than Ollie Udo, and he's got much more physical upside potential. They want him to win that job, and I think they're just trying to push him as much as they can.
Jeff, when I look at this and you bring up Trevor Penning, they look the part, 6'7", 325. I look at Landon Young, 6'7", 320, 321 now. Landon Young coming out of Kentucky, going in his fourth season. You drafted him in the sixth round. I can tell you what, he's no Zach Schrieff. You look at Zach Schrieff, seventh round pick. I know we use him as jumbo tight end. But think how valuable Zach Schrieff was for the Saints offensive line and where he was drafted. And Zach kind of even thought, I remember talking to him. He thought maybe Landon Young could be maybe somewhat like me. He can't hold Zach Schrieff's jock. I'm telling you right now, Zach, to me, was tougher. Landon Young, he knows how to talk to the media. I'd rather you'd have him in a cage and you let him out. I mean, that's one thing. People don't realize how tough Zach Schrieff was. And that Landon Young, to me, is nowhere near Zach Schrieff.
Zach Schrieff worked him out at Kentucky's pro day.
Yeah.
That was the connection.
And he thought they looked physical to size. They kind of looked similar. But you look at that heart and that personality. And I think Landon Young's a good guy, too. He's a good guy. But then when I look.
Other than he went to Kentucky, Bobby. I mean, that's the only other thing I got to get planned
about. Yeah, if he'd have been a Louisville Cardinal, then
that's a different story, Jeff.
But look, you look at grade and all that. He graded, allowed a pair of quarterback hits and on 13 pass blocking snaps. Just look, I don't know, Jeff, you're probably a pro football focused fan. And just because I think it's not 100%, but they're pretty accurate. And you look at the Cardinals and then. Like Dennis Allen said, I want somebody to grab the freaking job, to do something. And it's like Trevor Penning did great well against the Cardinals, but then Landon Young graded worse. And then you look at Trevor Penning did better against the 49ers, but Landon Young still, best case scenario, he's a backup right now. He's not, and there's no way he's starting off. Like if you have to plug and play him, maybe for a game or two, but I wouldn't even trust him for a month.
Well, what I'm concerned about, guys, and you're hitting on it right now, Bobby, is the depth along the offensive line. Like, I think the starting unit, I love what I'm seeing from Eric McCoy and Cesar Ruiz. I think they're fit in this new scheme by Clint Kubiak, where they're going to ask these guys to get to the second level and use their athleticism. I think they're tailor-made for that. I have no problems with Fuaga. I talked to an NFL offensive line coach the other day. He said, we had him number one of all the tackles on our board. He's going to be a stud. I mean, this is a guy from another team. He loves Fuaga. I think he's going to step right in. So I think three of the spots are in good shape. Clearly, left guard and right tackle are works in progress. I don't know if they're ever going to get there. And then if anybody of those three gets hurt, I just feel like inevitably somebody's going to get hurt, right?
Yeah.
It happens. I just think, the depth there and as exciting as this new scheme is, as exciting as the playmakers are with Taysom Hill, the camp he's having, you know, with Chris Olave's progress and getting Juwan Johnson back. And none of that's going to matter if they can't block anybody.
Amen.
We all know that. So
yeah.
That's my concern.
And you know, Jeff, yeah, I mean, it might be, Derek Carr or Dennis Allen, they're going to catch a bunch of crap if the offensive line don't block. I mean, because you're the quarterback, and then Dennis Allen can have a kick-ass defense, but no, you're the head coach. So that's how much is riding on the offensive line. Now, Jeff, I want your opinion on this. Now, you look at Lucas Patrick. Here is going in his eighth season, a veteran. We got him from the Bears, a lot of starts. And then I think he went down with cramps today. But Mike really likes him. How about Kyle Hergel? The rookie out of Boston College, and he was a free agent. He's a Canadian, but he's at 6'2". Mike said he's maybe probably more like a 6'1 kind of guy. But I've heard good things about Hergel.
He's a technician. I'm going to tell you right
now. Not necessarily that you want him to start, but he might be one that they could see a future in, even more than Sal DiVeri.
Yeah, he doesn't fit the prototype. That's why he goes undrafted. But he can, as Mike said, he's a technician, and they like him a lot. And I can see why. They actually liked Sincere Haynesworth a lot, but he was another undersized technician, just got hurt, unfortunately, for him, and they had to get a waiver settlement. But I think they've got unproven commodities across the board once you get past some of the starters. And look, as exciting as it was the other night, and they had a couple of, three 10-plus yard runs against the Niners. The Niners have one defensive starter playing. I mean, you know, these are backups.
Yeah.
I know it looks good, but they're not going against Fred Warner and Bosa and that group.
Now, last one, Zach, before we let you run. What is your take? Is this a fair assessment? That the Saints, if everybody's healthy, Jeff, we have the best cornerback group in the NFL. I think Alante Taylor's that much better. I look at Lattimore. I think where he's at, you look Paulson and Debo, Alante Taylor, and you have Kool-Aid. Would that be a fair assessment that they could be in the conversation as a group, the best cornerback group? Now, safety, if we'd have got Justin Simmons, I think we'd have a better secondary than Atlanta. But I think Atlanta, with Bates and now Justin Simmons, I'd say that might be the best duo of safeties in the NFL. So when you even break that part down, but where do you think we at the evaluation of the cornerback? I even look at a guy, I mean, taking advantage. How about Rico Payton? Pittsburgh yep. State, he's played, 33 coverage snaps, allowed a couple of receptions on 7 targets against the 49ers. Then you look in week 1 against the Cardinals, he broke up 3 passes and just 1 catch on 6 targets. So he might have got exploited early in OTA's minicamp, training camp. But here's a guy taking advantage of his opportunity. I'm looking at Rico Payton. I don't know if we make the active roster, but you have to feel like you could develop that kind of player because he ain't scared.
The other one,
too, accepted the challenge.
Is Ugo Amadi, okay, who plays in the nickel, and he's a really good special teams player. Saints have never had that type depth at the cornerback position, never.
Yeah, I think it's easily the deepest position and most talented position on the team, and I would say it's definitely among the best in the entire NFL, the cornerback spot. That's why I've actually thought they might move Marshawn Lattimore this offseason, because they had the depth there, and because Lattimore is coming up on a contract situation, you move him a year early because you can get something for him in an elite position, but he's been hurt the whole time. But I definitely think that is it. Look, let's face it, guys. Dennis Allen knows how to coach DBs. I mean, that's his background.
Yep.
Every DB team that comes in here improves. I mean, Will Harris has looked good in camp. Jonathan Abrams playing better here than he did
with the Raiders.
Ike Yiadom came in last year and looked like a starting caliber corner and got a contract out of it. They know how to coach DBs here, and that's going to continue to be, I think, an elite part of this defense.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. I'll see you out of camp soon. Take care.
All right, Jeff.
Jeff Duncan, columnist for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, covering the Saints.